إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. آیت الله العظمى شیخ عبدالکریم حائری یزدی، born in 1276 after Hijrah, 1855 AD, to a pious pure-hearted man, Muhammad Jafar, in a small town Mehrjird. He spent 6 years in the care of his kind mother. He was interested in reading and writing from very early days. Although his father wanted to provide good formal education, but was helpless, as there were no schools in Mehrjird those days. Most of the children helped and worked for their parents in their farms, lands and businesses. Abdul Karim too had a similar fate. This continued until Muhammad Jafar, a family relative, an alim, at the first sight discovered his talent. He offered to be his guardian and, with the consent of his parents, brought the young Abdul Karim to Ardakan. Ardakan once was the center of fiqh before it moved to Qum. Abdul Karim spent a few years commuting between Mehrjird and Ardakan. He stayed at his guardian's and visited his parents on the weekends. He lost his father at the age of 6. He returned to Mehrjird to help accompany his mother. He expressed his desire to continue his education. His mother, a sincere servant and a lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, willingly accepted and enrolled him at the Hawza Ilmiya of Yazd. In 1294 after Hijrah, 1873 AD, the 18-year-old young lad travels to the Atibbat, Ziyarat of Ma'sumin alayhimus salam in Iraq, with his mother, and stays in Karbala for his higher education. He was inspired by the head of the Hawza Ilmiya of Karbala, Ayatullah Fazil Ardakani. Upon the recommendations and instructions of Ayatullah Fazil Ardakani, he was enrolled at Madrasa Hasan Khan of Karbala. He soon became an important member of this faculty. Upon the instructions of his mentor, he was seconded to the Hawza Ilmiya of Samirra after his 2 years' stay in Karbala. This was the time when Ayatullah al-Uzma Mirzaya Shirazi was recognized as the worldwide marja, among the greatest ulama and the best of students of Ayatullah al-Uzma Shaykh Murtaza Ansari, the author of Fara'idul Usul. This was the time when the Europeans were looting the Arab resources, creating rifts among the Muslims. Among his other mentors was Ayatullah Muhammad Taqi Shirazi, who was also known as Mirzaya Dovum, Mirza II, renowned for his fatwa against the British Empire. Shaykh Abdul Karim says, "When I was studying in Samirra, due to cholera and plague, people were dying in large numbers. A group of ulama came to my ustad, Ayatullah Sayyid Muhammad Tabatabai Fisharaki. There Ayatullah al-Uzma Muhammad Taqi Shirazi came. The issue of the disaster was brought up. Ayatullah Shirazi said, "If I decree, do you think it will be mandatory upon you to abide by?" Everyone answered yes. He said, "I instruct the Shias of Samirra to recite Ziyarat Ashura for 10 days and to dedicate its reward to Hazrat Narjis Khatun, mother of Imam al-Asr, Mahdi alayhi salam, so that this affliction is removed from us." People were informed and everyone recited. From the next day, none from among the Shias died. Upon the instructions of his ustad, Ayatullah Muhammad Hussein Fazil Ardakani, he moved to Samarra. He wrote a recommendation letter to Ayatullah Mujaddid, a title meaning The Reviver, to Mirza Muhammad Hussein Shirazi, famous for his fatwa of tobacco against the British Empire. He read the recommendation letter and said to young Abdul Karim, I have already admired you. He accommodated this young, hard-working Yazdi student in his own house. His mentors in Samarra, Ayatullah Ibrahim Mahallati, Ayatullah Muhammad Taqi Shirazi, Shirazi II, Shaheed Shaykh Fazlullah Nuri, Ayatullah Sayyid Muhammad Tabatabai Fisharaki, and Ayatullah Shirazi Buzurg. After the sad demise of Ayatullah Mujaddid, the reviver, Ayatullah Shaykh Abdul Karim Ha'iri, with his mentor Ayatullah Fisharaki, moved to Najaf. He benefited from Ayatullah Sayyid Muhammad Kazim Tabatabai, the author of Urwatul Wuthqa in Usul, Ayatullah Muhammad Kazim Khurasani, the author of Kifayatul Usul in Fiqh, and Ayatullah Mirza Hassan Nuri, the author of Mustadrakul Wasail in Ilmul Hadith. Ayatullah Shaykh Abdul Karim Ha'iri was such brilliant in all sciences among all of the students of his mentors that Ayatullah Muhammad Taqi Shirazi referred all of his muqallideen to follow the fatwa of Ayatullah Shaykh Abdul Karim Ha'iri in all precautions, ihtiyatat. He, in one of his ziyarat trip to Karbala, notices the decline of the Hawza of Karbala after Ayatullah Fazil Ardakani. He moved to Karbala, revived the Hawza in a very short time, and it was here that he was given the title of Ha'iri. Ha'ir in Arabic is a pit where water accumulates. The land of Karbala is known as Ha'ir. 1332 after Hijra, 1910 AD, witnessed height of colonial oppression and riots in Karbala. Upon the invitation of the people of Iraq, Ayatullah Ha'iri moved to Iraq. He served the Hawza Ilmiya of Iraq for 8 years. He then moved to Qum. Imam Khomeini, a young lad of 20 years then, intending to join the Hawza in Isfahan, changed his plans and joined the Hawza of Ayatullah Ha'iri in Iraq, and later moved with him to Qum. Qum is one of the largest religious cities in the world. Since the inception of Shias in Iran, it was counted as the hub of Shias. This fame exists even today. Qum, a center of religious ideology, ethics and politics, in brief a haven of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Like Najaf and Karbala after Islam, Qum too after the arrival of the daughter of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhim as-salam, and the existence of her sacred shrine thereafter, boosted the exaltedness of this holy city. Qum has a bright history. It was the long desire of many notable noble ulama from among the friends and associates of the Imams alayhim as-salam, the presence of Shaykh Kulaini, Shaykh Saduq, and the arrival of the Alawi Shias increased the importance of the city. The oppressive Abbasis forced the Shias to settle down in the cities of Iran, namely Qum and Kashan. They built mosques and madrasas in these cities to continue propagating the message of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. The Imams alayhimus salam gave particular attention to Qum and its inhabitants. It was the time when eminent persons like Mullah Sadruddin Shirazi and Faiz Kashani attracted more and more students to the Hawza. With the help from the Safavi monarchs, Faiz Kashani established more schools. Most notable among them are Madrasa Faiziya, Madrasa Mahdi Quli, and Madrasa Mu'miniyya. 1810 AD, after Mirza Yuqummi, the author of Qawaneen, born 1151, who died in 1231 after Hijra, The house of Qom had gradually come to a close down. Madrasa Faiziya and Dar al-Shifa were inhabited by beggars and were used as storehouses for the nearby businesses. In the winter of 1340 after Hijrah, 1922 AD, Ayatollah Ha'iri comes to Qom. This was after spending 37 years in Najaf, Karbala, Samarra, and 8 years in Iraq. Ayatollah Ha'iri with Ayatollah Murtaza Ha'iri, his elder son, and Ayatollah Muhammad Taqi Khansari arrived Qom upon the invitation of the people. Swarms of people welcomed him, hosted him, arranged many programs to benefit from his presence. The leading ulama, businessmen, and all notable figures requested him to settle in Qom. Ayatollah Bawqi, one of the noble ulama, sincere servants of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, regarding whom Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi alayhi, in many of his akhlaq lessons, used to say, "One who wants to meet a mu'min after the ziyarat of Abdul Azim alayhi salam, pay a visit to Mujahid Bawqi's grave." That very alim who was laid in the shrine of Hazrat Fatima Ma'suma alayha salam and beaten by Reza Shah's thick baton. He called, "Ya Sahib al-Zaman, help me," as he was beaten. He was exiled to Shahr-e-Ray, where he died. Ayatollah Gulpaygani reports this amazing incident. Says there were 400 students during the time of Ayatollah Ha'iri in Qom. They all came to Ayatollah Bawqi and requested a winter abba from him. He was the distributor of Ayatollah Ha'iri's scholarship. He reports to Ayatollah Ha'iri. Ayatollah Ha'iri says, "From where?" Ayatollah Bawqi says, "From Hazrat Waliye Asr, Imam Zaman alayhi salam." Sheikh Bawqi says, "Insha'Allah, I will get them from him." The eve of Friday, he sets off for Masjid Jamkaran, meets the Imam alayhi salam, comes and reports to Ayatollah Ha'iri on Friday that Imam has promised to provide 400 winter abbas on Saturday. The promise was fulfilled. With this yaqeen certainty, Ayatollah Bawqi returned from the Atibbat, Iraq, to convince the ulama in Qom to revive the Hawza. "We have no support," they said. He replied, "100 kilometers from Qom, Ayatollah Ha'iri is there. In greatness, in knowledge, in caliber, has no one like him in Iran. Trusted by the greatest of Maraja of Najaf." In one of his meetings with Ayatollah Ha'iri, Ayatollah Bawqi says, "Reports of the end of time reveal that knowledge will reach all corners of the universe from Qom. Do you accept them or do you doubt?" Ayatollah Ha'iri replied, "I accept them." Ayatollah Bawqi said, "Don't you want this to happen by you, so that its eternal reward is registered for you?" Ayatollah Ha'iri said, "Why not?" Sheikh Bawqi continued, "Then why do you doubt settling in Qom?" Ayatollah Ha'iri replied, "A budget is required." Sheikh Bawqi said, "No living exists but that is provided by God. Ma min dabbatin fil ard illa 'ala Allahi rizqaha." Ayatollah Ha'iri replies, "God provides through the means and channels." Sheikh Bawqi says, "God creates the means his servant intends, and he will avail." Ayatollah Ha'iri says, "In Iraq there is a large group. I am preoccupied with them." Sheikh Bawqi says, "Relocating them is simple." Ayatollah Ha'iri agrees if the istikhara to move to Qom was good. An amazing ayah was revealed in the istikhara. It said, "Wa'atuni bi ahlikum ajma'een," and come to me with all your families." People were informed of the outcome of the istikhara. He started the work on the establishment of the hawza and asked his students and associates from Iraq to join him. The existing madrasas were refurbished. Students, teachers, syllabus were all examined and organized. A sincere foundation was laid 9 decades ago, productivity and barakat of which just grows by many fold. Hawza Ilmiya of Qum was established in 1923, an era when Iran was heading towards destruction. It was at this time he was given the title Ayatollah Muassis, meaning the founder Ayatollah. Ayatollah Muassis, the founder Ayatollah, had made it mandatory that every student sits an exam prior to his enrollment in the Hawza. He interviewed and issued a certificate for those students capable to propagate and perform tabligh. Ayatollah Khairi's students numbered 600, and today this glorious Hawza caters more than 50,000 students from more than 50 countries from across the globe, teaching fiqh, law, irfan, philosophy, economy, tafsir, kalam, and many other subjects. It was Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi alayh, from the first batch of his immediate students, who rose and with his great universal divine uprising, which gave honor to the Shias, life to the Muslims, and support to every oppressed. Since its inception, this Hawza has been the most supreme Islamic thought center. Nationwide Hawzas were revived by the arrival of Ayatollah Khairi, laying the foundation of the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum, and by seconding the best of ulama. In addition to his tiresome daily tasks and affairs, Ayatollah Khairi has left behind many written works. Kitab al-Salat, a very comprehensive book related to prayers. Durarul Usul, notes of his Ustad Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Fisharaki. Many other works include inheritance, nursing, wedding, divorce, marriage, manasik, hajj, etc. Zakhiratul Ma'ad and Muntakhabur Rasail. Regarding his simplicity and humbleness, Imam Khomeini says, "We are proud to admit that when marhum Haj Sheikh Abdul Karim Khairi died, his children had no dinner that night. Are we spongers, or those who have hoarded their foreign accounts with public funds and yet do not stay away from looting the nation, not spongers?" The main aim of the agents of imperialists was to dominate and control the Hawza Ilmiya. This was the greatest challenge for Ayatollah Khairi, who was the founder and the controller of this great institution. He remained alert to this challenge at all times. Since he was aware of the faithlessness of Reza Khan, he was facing his adventurous nature with courage and caution. As was expected, Reza Khan attacked Qum, making a false claim that his family was ridiculed at the Hawza. To celebrate the new year, people gather in sacred shrines and holy places. Among the visitors were also the members of the Pahlavi family, who had appeared dressed in Western apparel, not observing the hijab. People from all corners of the shrine started protesting against them. Ayatollah Muhammad Taqi Bafqi, the Mujahid Mu'min, sent a message to the royal family to cover themselves. When this message had no effect on the royal family, Sheikh Muhammad Taqi Bafqi went personally and requested them to cover their faces and heads and leave the site. There was a loud commotion and the Pahlavi family went away. Reza Shah was informed. He, with a contingent of armed men, arrived at the sacred shrine. Entered the sacred shrine with his boots. He ill-treated many students of the Hawza, kicked and beat them up. Ayatollah Muhammad Taqi Bafqi was beaten, arrested and exiled. Often Ayatollah Ha'iri used to visit the madrasas to assess and gauge the progress of the bright students. He also used to inquire about their financial needs and arranged funds to help them. Many a times it happened that he visited the groceries in the vicinity of the shrine and took provisions on loan to be distributed to the students. Of all the traits of Ayatollah Ha'iri, his piety was the most prominent. His piety and simplicity was exemplary throughout his life. He always humbly expressed his gratefulness to Allah, and whatever little he earned was distributed to the needy. Once a person presented an expensive abba to his son. When he heard about this, Ayatollah Ha'iri told to him, "This abba is too expensive for you. Sell it, buy three less expensive abbas. Use one for yourself and give the other two to those in need." Sheikh's grace towards an old man. One very cold winter night, it had snowed heavily. The door knocked. Karbalai Ali Shah opened the door. An old lady at the door. "I am your neighbor. My husband is dying of severe stomachache. I have no medication nor any firewood to keep him warm." Karbalai Ali Shah, Sheikh's khadim, abruptly said, "Is this a chemist or a timber store that you've knocked at this time of the night? You won't find all this here. Come in the morning." And he closed the door. He came to his room and saw Sheikh standing before him. His looks were not the same. He inquired, "Who were you talking to?" The khadim reported. Sheikh was upset. He said, "If tomorrow God asks me, you were warm and cozy. Someone ill and in need extended his hands for help. Why did you not help him? What answer do I have? I will be devastated and lost." Karbalai lowered his head in shame. Sheikh said, "Do you know her address?" He said, "Yes." Sheikh quickly got dressed and said, "Right now we will have to go to her house," and set off. The khadim took the lamp and walked before the Sheikh. Both old men reached the old lady's house. Knocked, she opened, wished them salam, prayed for his long life. "At this time and in this cold here?" Sheikh said, "How is your husband?" The old lady burst into tears. Heart Sheikh shook. Under his lips, he murmured a recital. "Enter." Then an old weak man lay ill. Sheikh wished him salam and sat before him. The old lady said, "See who has come. Heart Sheikh Abdul Karim is at our house." His red eyes looked at Sheikh, wished him salam with all pain. Sheikh replied. He asked Mashhadi what's wrong. He pointed at his stomach. The lady said, "Our room is cold. We have no medicine. He is complaining of the stomachache from the past 3 days, and today he has collapsed." Sheikh placed his kind hand on the man's forehead, then said to his khadim, "Bring all the firewood from our house and go get the doctor quick." It was past midnight. They returned. The doctor wished Sheikh, kissed his hand. The lady was happy. The khadim gave the bag of firewood to the lady. She took and lit. The doctor examined and gave some medicine and a prescription to the khadim to get the medicines in the morning. The doctor left. Sheikh, with all kindness, kissed the man's forehead, greeted the two and returned. On their way home, Sheikh asked the khadim, "How much do we spend daily on our grocery?" Khadim replied. Sheikh then said, "From tomorrow, whatsoever grocery you will buy for us, half of it will be given to the old lady and half for our household," and continued with their way home. Reza Shah Pahlavi, an illiterate, ill-mannered, ruthless hypocrite who worked as a security guard for one of the European embassies in Tehran, was promoted and made the Shah of Iran by the British. The era of Sheikh was not easy, with Shah and his atrocities against Islam and the Muslims. In reply to Sheikh's telegraph, the Shah in person visited Sheikh, entered his house with his boots on, warned him to correct his behavior towards the kingdom, or else he would level everything in Qom with the ground. Soon after the mass massacre in Masjid Gauharshad in Mashhad, and then the law abandoning hijab in public was passed and forced. Ulama were not allowed to wear their attire. Congregations, Husainiyas, mosques and majalis were banned. Ayatollah Khairi fell ill with cardiac concerns. Students in large numbers were arrested. A group of ulama went to visit him to get his verdict on how to handle the affairs. To send the students to their hometowns, shut down the Hauza so as to be safe, or to be moved to another location. Upon getting the updates of the oppressions, Ayatollah Khairi fainted. He recovered after a while and said, "Under no circumstances must this trench be abandoned. This zulm, this oppression will vanish. You will remain. Today our custodian is Imam Zaman alayhi salam. Upon you is to strengthen your bond with him." He then instructed the students to not congregate, participate in funerals in more than 3 or 4 in number. Be away from sights as much as it is possible. When he was delivering his talk, he sighed, "Ah, Islam is going. We have to save it." The companions of Sayyid al-Shuhada knew that they will be martyred on the day of Ashura. But they said, "We must fight as much as we can, engage this army of Kufa as much as we can, so that the Imam, the argument, the Hujjah of Allah lives an hour longer. We do have a similar duty. My masters, Aghayan, Islam is in danger. We, by our education, have to do something that Islam lives longer." Ayatollah Sheikh Abdul Karim Khairi was very patient in safeguarding the Hauza. Once Reza Shah said, "I killed many of the ulama, but this one man, Khairi, had I removed him, I would have removed Islam." Regarding his piety, Imam Khomeini says, "My respected and honorable mentor, Sheikh Abdul Karim Khairi Yazdi, his seerah, his way, was in line with the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam." Ayatollah Khairi had excessive love towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam. Sheikh Ibrahim Sahib Zamani was asked to recite Masaib daily prior to his lecture. When inquired, he said, "When I was living in Iraq, it was a Wednesday. I had a dream that 3 days from now I will die. I woke up, said to myself, it was just a dream, continued with my activities according to my schedule. The third day, with a group of friends, we had an outing. I started shaking, followed by severe fever. My health was deteriorating. I was reminded of my dream, asked my friends to take me home. I was laid facing the Qibla. I saw 2 angels have come to collect me. There I sought help from Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, pleaded to him, 'Ya Aba Abdullah, death I do not fear. My worry is because my hands are empty. I have nothing to present. By your mother Zahra alayha salam, allow me to live a bit longer, so that I could serve.' A third angel then appears, saying that Imam Husayn alayhi salam has mediated and the Almighty Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has accepted. They went, my senses were returned. I heard everyone crying around me. I shook. They opened my tied feet. They opened my eyes. The cotton stuffed in my mouth was removed. I sat very tired, thirsty. For 15 days I was very ill and weak. All I possess is from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That is why the Masa'ib of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam are recited prior to the dars every day. On the 9th and 10th of Muharram, he participated in the processions of Aza, bare feet with dust and clay wiped on his forehead and his hanak around his neck.
Rahmat wase ye khuda chahiye aagay man. Assalamu alayka ya rahmat Allah alwasa. Wa ya bab najat al-umman.
In the last days of his life, his frail health, he selected a panel of three senior ulama: Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Kuh Kamari, Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Taqi Khansari, and Ayatollah Sayyid Sadruddin Sadr, to function as his successors and handed over the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum to them. In the same year, on 17 Dhul Qa'd, 1355 after Hijrah, 1936 AD, he passed away, plunging the people of Qum and worldwide Shias into deep sorrow. Since the oppressive regime was scared of huge public gatherings, they allowed only 2 hours, after which people were forced to disperse. He was laid to rest in the sacred shrine of Fatima Ma'suma alayha salam at Qum, the place where he conducted his lectures and offered his prayers. In his funeral, despite public gatherings being banned, hijab in public not allowed, all women participated in complete hijab. Qum witnessed a congregation of more than 40,000 people never seen before. وَسَلَامٌ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ وُلِدَ وَيَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ يُبْعَثُ حَيًّا. And salam be on him on the day he was born, and on the day he dies, and on the day he is raised to life. وَسُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Thank you.